At Designer Shoe Warehouse, we believe that shoes are an important part of, well,
everything. From first steps to first dates, from all-nighters to all-time personal bests.
From building pillow forts to building a life.
For all the big and small moments that make up your whole world, DSW is there. And we've got just the shoes. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love at bragworthy prices at your DSW store or DSW.com.
There is a place that is spoken about only in whispers. A dark area that spawns the beginnings of urban legends. A place where anything can happen and usually does. During the light of day, it hides just outside of view. But when the sun goes down, spirits, creatures of the night, roam free, and things do go bump in the night. It is in every state and every country, and there is no escaping it, no matter how safe you feel behind your locked doors and latched windows. So we invite you to turn down the lights and turn up your radio while we join Dave Schrader and Tim Dennis, your hosts, on a journey into the darkness on the edge of town.
Well, good evening and welcome back to Hour 2 of Darkness on the Edge of Town Paranormal Radio. We're going to be joined by Keith Age here in a few moments. I just wanted to thank our listeners and all the great fans on MySpace that have contributed for the banner contest. And as we mentioned at the top of the first hour, our winners, we have Wendy, who sent in a really beautiful submission. It's on our MySpace page in the banner contest sheet. It's submission number 13. We want to thank her. She is the grand prize winner for the Darkness Radio banner contest. And then Melba came in second, and she is also going to win. We're going to get her out a Darkness Radio hoodie. And then, of course, we want to thank Sis Insanity Squirrel. Teresa, thank you very much for the awesome banners and for the very funny video that you created. I appreciate all the work everybody's done for us and for all the support you show. What you can do is go to our website at myspace.com, and you'll see there's a link for it at the top of our regular webpage at darknessradio.com. Click on that. It'll take you to my main page or MySpace. And if you go through the blogs, there's the submissions. Go in there, take some of the banners, put them up on your website, help promote Darkness on the Edge of Town. We also have a regular weekly contest that's going on where if you go into your MySpace account and add us as a top friend and or add a banner to your site that's Darkness Radio. Once a week, I go through randomly picking through people in my friend list, and if I find one that has us in their top friend list or a banner on their site, they will be notified. They win a free Darkness on the Edge of Town radio shirt. So I just want to thank again everybody that's out there and supporting us. Thanks to all of our friends and listeners in the chat room. And we will get into the second hour of the show here. So without further ado, our next guest, as I've mentioned here, is Keith Age, and he is the host of Spooked, the TV show. He's founder of LGHS, Kentucky rep for AGS, and has more than a quarter century of paranormal investigation and research under his belt. Keith works for and with some of the leading researchers in the paranormal field. He's been a paranormal consultant for TV shows and a movie and is currently the host of Spooked and the upcoming Children of the Grave, which will be seen on the Sci-Fi Channel. Tonight we're going to discuss Children of the Grave with him, also his upcoming 6th annual Mid-South Paranormal Convention coming up in 2 weeks here, and you can get all the information by going to our website at darknessradio.com. Click on the show tab, you'll see a picture of Keith, you can click that to go to his site, and you'll see the banner that you can click to go check out the 6th annual Mid-South Paranormal Convention. We hope that you'll do that. Keith, good evening and welcome to the Darkness on the Edge of Town.
Hey, thanks for having me.
Hey, I appreciate it. We've been kind of back and forth over the last year and a half here, and it's good to finally get you on the show and talk to you. Now, you've got Spooked was wildly popular, and that was a Waverly Hills documentary talking about the ghosts of Waverly Hills and the things that happened during the filming of a horror movie that took place there called Death Tunnel. There was extra footage and strange occurrences that were going on during the filming of that movie, and the Booth brothers, along with you as narrator and kind of host, put this DVD together that's also been aired on the Sci-Fi Channel. And now you're kind of doing a sequel to that, which is called Children of the Grave. And is that going to be aired here in October on Sci-Fi?
That's what we're told.
Okay.
You know how Sci-Fi is.
Yep.
They say they want it and get it, and then they say, hold on, we'll tell you when we're going to air it. So,
okay.
Yeah, but the DVD comes out on October 1st.
October 1st, the DVD of Children of the Grave will be out, and then it'll be also airing on the Sci-Fi Channel. Now, tell us, what is Children of the Grave? What's this episode about?
Well, this one is basically about orphaned children. And, of course, when you do ghost hunting, another big part of it is, research and history. And we found out a lot of history about America that we really didn't know. We didn't know that there was what was called the orphan train that ran from the mid-1800s all the way to 1980, where basically orphan children were taken off the street if they were found and put in orphanages, buried them in mass graves when they died.
Wow.
And there's basically a mass grave almost in every big town in America, we started finding out. And that's what kind of started the whole ball of wax, and then we kept going on to different orphanages and different places and different stories all over America that had to do with kid ghosts. So we found some pretty amazing stuff, and we're lucky enough to actually capture it on a lot of film.
Now, let me ask you, Keith, and I'm sure because you've done this, you probably have a decent grasp on this, but we've heard from some of the experts and people that work in the field of demonology that children's spirits, there are no such thing as children's spirits here on Earth, that usually it's a demonic form or a malevolent entity that's taking on a childlike form to trick you and get you and manipulate you. Did you come across in, either in the filming of the show or in any of your investigations over the last 25 years where this was the case, where it turned out to be maybe something more menacing pretending to be a child?
I'll tell you what, one of the places that we shot in Missouri, it got up here and we really locked onto something that we actually caught on film. And it was pretty frightening for the other people that were around, and I just think I don't have enough brain cells to be scared. I'm standing here with the thermal imager going, wait a minute, don't move, everybody let me watch this thing.
Right.
It kept coming up at us. And like I said, we were actually able to capture it. And that's kind of what the theory is on this place, that the children are there that really aren't children. They're more different forces, and of course we had some psychics that were with us and mediums, and that's what they were picking up on. So that might be true.
All right. Did you now, with some of these ghosts that you've come in contact with that were children, though? Now, have you had visual contact for yourself? Were you able to actually see physical manifestations of children?
Well, no, I've never seen a ghost like you and I stand there talking to each other, and that's I'm still waiting for the day I'll probably see Satan tap dancing on a table and probably won't have my camera with me.
Right. That's the way it always works out.
Yeah, and a lot of strange things. These things that we were capturing, were basically after the fact things. Really strong EVPs. A lot of things where the people. We knew things were there, and then all of a sudden you'd look around and something new would appear, and an EVP would go along with it, or like things that we caught with the thermal imager were pretty amazing. So, like I said, no, I haven't really seen children ghosts, but what we captured, you'll just be, like I said, you will be amazed by what we got.
Now, you said you did some work in Missouri. How many different states did you visit for filming with the special?
We actually shot in about 6 different states and started shooting the day after last year's Mid-South Paranormal Convention and went on through till about 4 weeks ago.
Oh, really? So you were still shooting up until 4 weeks ago?
Right.
Wow, okay. So how many states total do you think you covered then?
Well, we covered quite a bit. from Kentucky to Arkansas, all the way to the Oklahoma border, back up to Missouri, then into Illinois, and then back down into Indiana.
Now, was there one site that you found was more paranormally active than any of the others?
Like I said, there's one place in Missouri. I walked in there, and I don't think I'm psychic at all or have a psychic bone in my body, and it just didn't think I was going to capture anything, and then by the end of the night, we started getting things left and right, and the amazing thing about it was, once it got back into Hollywood, where the Blues Brothers took it and started going back to the post-production work on it, that's when it really started bringing out the EVPs, and like you were talking about, the demonic sounds and stuff that we captured there. So yeah, it's going to be pretty wild.
Now, you've been doing this for 25 years. Little over
Oh, yeah.
Okay. All these years, what kind of got Keith Age involved in this? Was there something as a child you saw? You said you've never seen a ghost like most people, you know, with the apparition form. What got you involved in investigating the paranormal and kept you going, especially if you haven't seen the Holy Grail yet?
Well, when I was 16, started dating a young lady, and she wouldn't let me come over and meet mom and dad. And I just kind of figured it was because I was in a rock and roll band, I had the real long hair and the beard, and, you know, and just not presentable to bring home, you know.
Okay.
So finally, it was on her 16th birthday, we got to go over to her house, and she finally admitted why she never did. That was because she said they had a ghost. Well, I'm being young and dumb at the time, didn't believe it, and decided to try and taunt this thing out and, you know, prove it to me, show me. And we were sitting on the couch, and you could see down the hallway to a bedroom, and there was a mirror there right at the door, and I kept seeing something go across the mirror, and I went down, tore the room apart, nobody down there, and it started piquing my interest. And by the end of the night, I pretty much called this thing everything I could think of and try and get it to show itself or do something. And as the evening wore down, I went to leave. I was standing at the front door with her, went to kiss her goodnight, and the next thing I knew, all I felt was just something on my arm, and I was flying backwards, went through the front door, and landed about 6 feet out on the ground.
Oh, my.
And that was just wild. It was just so cool. And I've been hooked ever since.
So did you start just doing like everybody, going off to cemeteries to investigate and check this stuff out, or were you more conventional and trying to find haunted homes to check out?
Well, the first thing I did was went and started researching this place. You know, and of course, back then, if you said you were a ghost hunter, you know, the guys with the little white coats would be running after you.
Right.
So, you know, there was no real references back then. You know, you could find things on Harry Price and on Holzner, but nothing really to, you know, kind of guide you on what to do or how to do it.
Mm-hmm.
So the first thing I tried to do was try to figure out what was in this house. We finally figured out that it was the gentleman who bought the house, and or at least that's who we thought it was. And evidently, he was a mean person, and he didn't like teenagers at all. And that was the cause of this haunting, because he basically blew his brains out in this house right after his wife died. So that's why we feel like he's haunted there. Plus, what was interesting, like I said, you know, you go back into the history part of it, and that's the part that a lot of people just don't really understand. You know, that's the cool part to me, besides, you know, actually getting some type of manifestation. You go through and you start looking at this, and you find out all the documentation, you know, what was there before it was this house, and then you start going through, and we're lucky enough I was able to go through years, you know, growing up with it. And, of course, this family moved out. Six other families moved in, and within 3 months' time, they moved out. And then finally, in 1989, this house burned down, and there has never been anything put back in its place. It's just an empty, vacant lot now.
Wow. Now, with the investigations that you've done since then, though, you said you haven't seen anything like a spirit. Have you? What do you think is the most compelling evidence that you've actually collected that you can verify? You know, a sense, a feeling, somebody slapping you, that's a personal experience. We all love to have them, but it's something hard to quantify. How do you, you know, what's probably the best piece of evidence that you've ever collected, aside from the TV show Spooked and from Children of the Grave, which I know you can't get into that? What are some of the most compelling pieces you've had?
One of the best things that we did was at Waverly. You know, when we first got there, Waverly, you had 2.5 feet of dirt and garbage before it was ever cleaned up. And, you know, every year that we were there 5 years, we'd find something new. Well, after the first year we were there, that's when we started noticing the shadow images and things moving around. And the third year, we decided to kind of do a little bit more investigating and some more experimenting. So I had a friend of mine.
Had you known that it was haunted when you started working there and helping out?
No. I guess we were, you know, you always have the rumors. You know, Waverly was the place where all the kids hung out, snuck in, broke into.
Sure.
There was a teenage hangout. And of course, you had the rumors. But you go in, you know, with a skeptical mind, trying to figure out what's going on. And, you know, we debunked a lot of things. But then there was a lot of things we couldn't explain, like the footprints. You know, the place leaks like a sieve. And especially on the upper levels, and you'd walk in, there'd be puddles, and all of a sudden you'd find footprints. Well, you know, the place is locked up and boarded up, and you're the only one in there. These footprints would only go 4 or 5 feet and stop. And then you come in, you find a hallway full, but you find them with hard-soled shoes. Now, there's not too many people that actually wear hard-soled shoes anymore.
Right.
Even, you know, even the newer, nicer-looking shoes, they've got some type of tread on them.
Right.
You know, unless you wear like a cowboy boot or something like that. And these shoes, none of them had treads. Or you'd find barefoot footprints. And if you go to our website, you'll see a lot of the pictures and stuff that we did. The best one was in December of 2003, where we actually had a Louisville police officer who was a member of the group, went up to the fifth floor, unlocked the door, opened it up, and looked down. Right there's a puddle, and right there in front is two barefoot footprints. We're talking December. This was extremely cold. Huh. There's nobody else up there, you know. And again, what we did was we'd get up here and you'd take your feet, put it in the water, and you'd walk and you'd leave 10 steps behind you, which you can see. And one of the things that we found out was these footprints would take 3 to 4 times longer to dissipate than yours, and they were always 20 to 30 degrees colder than yours when you'd lay them down. You know, so you, here you got one that's only got 2 or 3 steps and it's gone, and yours you've got almost 10 steps. So those are pretty cool things, you know, just trying to get pictures of and trying to figure out what is happening and how it's causing. But the coolest thing was the laser grid system we had built for us. And we actually proved that these things have mass. Put this laser grid system down the hallway, and these things would walk through, and it would break the laser beam.
Oh, wow.
So then we go one more step further.
Mm-hmm.
And we put motion detectors on every intersecting beam. And again, they break the beam, and they break the motion detector. So the only way to break a laser beam, you know, according to our science now, is to have mass, is to break the light. And plus, they got pretty good aim. I've had my head busted open a few times up there. So,
well, yeah, now, you know, that's something that's funny because we've always been told ghosts can't actually hurt you. However, we've seen, you know, even on that show that we talked to Zach Bagans last week from the TV show Ghost Adventures on Sci-Fi Channel. And
right.
In the one room, you see a brick lift itself up and throw itself across the room, and a board start to levitate. If these spirits can move and manifest things, of course they can hurt you.
That's right.
What's the worst injury you've ever sustained from dealing with the paranormal?
Oh, I got 6 stitches in my head. I was given a tour at Waverly one night, and we were on the fourth floor. And one of the things we found out with these shadow things was interesting was if you had LASIK surgery or if you wore contact lenses, a certain type of contact lenses, a certain thickness of glasses, they couldn't see these shadow images.
Well, you know, that's interesting that you'd say that, Keith, because I had LASIK eye surgery, and I couldn't see, I didn't see shadow people, but there were so many people when we just did our live event there at Waverly that were seeing shadow people left and right.
Yeah.
And, it made me start to wonder, is it just a play of light? Is it tricks, optical tricks? But that makes sense that you're saying that, you know, some of the people who've had adjustments to their eyes might be actually dealing with, blocking out some of the visualizations.
Yeah, and of course, you know, you're using your peripheral vision.
Right.
And of course, a lot of people get up here and say, you know, from the hauntings that they report, you know, they see these things out of the corner of their eyes. Well, these things, if you sit there and watch and you can see it and it's using your peripheral vision, these things would sometimes walk out into the hallway, you know, and just you could constantly keep in contact with just using the peripheral vision. So anyway, I was sitting there giving this tour and standing behind this young lady. Matter of fact, I was standing directly behind her. My face was next to hers. And you know how pitch black it can get in Waverly.
Yeah, definitely. It gets really dark in there for a building that's, you know, facing the moon and so much light source, you'd think that there'd be a lot more light in there than there is.
Right. So we've got the lights off, and we're telling everybody, just calm down, you know, just drop your eyes to the ground, use your peripheral vision, just look at everything at once, and don't try to focus on anything. And I've got my arm out in front of her, and of course she's putting her hand on mine and trying to, so she can guide herself where she's trying to look. All of a sudden, my EMF meter went off. It got drastically cold, and next thing I know, I could just hear something whistling down the hallway, and it popped me right underneath my hat, and just busted me wide open on my forehead.
Wow.
Yeah.
Now,
that happened 3 times up there.
Or you got pegged with a rock, but you keep going back, Keith, so that's good.
Did
you, Tim's signaling from across the board, I guess we have to take our first break here for the show. So stick with us, Keith. We're going to be back in a minute. And thank you all for tuning into the show. We're going to be back with our guest, Keith Age. And again, if you'd like information on Keith and the upcoming Mid-South Paranormal Conference, you can go to our website at darknessradio.com, click on the show tab, click on either Keith's picture or on the banner for the Mid-South Paranormal Conference, and join us out there. I'll be joining Keith and being out there as a part of the conference to hang out and be there and listen to the speakers as well. So I hope to get to meet a lot of you. We'll be right back with more right after this.
Once you have seen Dave and Tim in the light, you'll understand why we must return to the darkness on the edge of town. Stay tuned. There is more to come.
For 58 years, Fate has consistently supplied its loyal readership with a broad array of true reports of the strange and unknown. Fate is a factual magazine containing articles by experts in all walks of life, and by others just like you who have something dynamic, significant, and truthful to say. Keep up with the latest on angels and miracles, psychic phenomena, ghosts, UFOs, archaeological hotspots, alternative science, and much, much more. To receive your free Fate magazine, call now at 1-800-728-2730 or visit our website at www.fatemag.com. That's 1-800-728-2730 or www.fatemag.com. What are you waiting for? Your fate awaits.
Are you tired of reading about what couple in Hollywood is breaking up or divorcing? Have you ever wondered where you can find the news that covers the subjects that you are really interested in? I would like to invite you to visit SupernaturalNews.com. Supernatural News uses the latest internet technology to search for the topics we know you will be interested in reading. News of the latest Bigfoot, UFO, or Loch Ness monster sightings. Read about the latest conspiracy theories and urban legends. Supernatural News, where belief and reality merge.
You hear footsteps and things bumping and banging in the middle of the night. Could it be paranormal activity? Or is it just Dave and Tim raiding your fridge?
Beer.
Strange things happen in the darkness on the edge of town.
Hey, welcome back to the show. Thank you very much for joining us here tonight in the Darkness on the Edge of Town Paranormal Radio Show. Before we get back into the show, I do want to make a quick mention. So many healers and energy practitioners, people like that that have been out there have really shown some class and love through MySpace, helping out when we get requests for help for sick people, for people that are going through emotional distress, recent deaths. The outpouring of love and attention and affection has been crazy. For an idea of what I'm talking about, if you go to our MySpace page, currently my first blog on there right now says, "Please help. Healing and prayers needed badly." We're reaching out for a gentleman and a friend of ours that we made at Dragon Con, and his name is David. He lives in New Hampshire. He's been diagnosed with myelofibrosis, and doctors are astounded each day that he's alive. He was told he should have died 2 years ago. I want you all to know the amazing work that you're doing with all of your prayers. We've got, I think, like 30 people that have posted prayers, thoughts, energy, healings. Keep up the good work. The latest update from David, who wakes up every day in massive amounts of pain, says, "Hello, everyone. I just wanted to tell you all that I'm doing fantastic. My legs and arms haven't hurt a quarter of what they usually do, and I've been able to reduce my painkiller intake by a substantial amount, hoping to not take any at all, if possible. I've not been fatigued, and friends have commented on how good I look. Thank you all so much." I just want to take a minute to thank everybody out there. Everybody, Darla, William Constantine, Going to Disney, Kelly Maroney, Erica, Tracy, UFOPI, Dark Knight Angel, Kat, Tom, Steve, Laura, everybody. I don't want to go through the whole list here, but everybody that's come forward and helped out with the prayers, please keep them up. Your work is helping people, and we've had quite a few prayer requests that have gone out and energy healing requests over the last year here, and I get astounding results from the people that you've helped. I want you to know that I appreciate it, the people that you've helped appreciate it, and you are in our hearts and souls, and we just want to thank you for that. Keep up the good work. Again, visit our site, and if you can, think of our friend David in Rhode Island, or I'm sorry, in New Hampshire, who's dealing with this crippling and deadly disease. It should have taken his life 2 years ago. Let's beat it back and put this guy in remission so he's alive for the remainder of a long, healthy, happy life. We're going to get back into the show. Our guest, as I mentioned, is Keith Age. We're talking to him. He's the host of Spooked and the new Children of the Grave, which will be on the Sci-Fi Channel. The DVD will be in stores October 1st. You're going to want to check it out. He's also hosting the 6th Annual Mid-South Paranormal Convention, which takes place September 21st through the 23rd at the Clarion Hotel in Louisville, Kentucky. They have amazing guest speakers. I wanted to go out there to be a part of this so I can hear them. Troy Taylor, he's authored over 50 books on history and the paranormal, and he's the founder of the AGS. There's John Zaffis, the godfather of the paranormal. Author Rosemary Ellen Guiley with over 30 books on every aspect of the paranormal. Tim Yancey, the host of Encounters. Patrick Burns from Court TV's Haunting Evidence. Donna LaCroix, case manager for TAPS from the TV show Ghost Hunters. Rick Hayes, the paranormal communications consultant and writer. Carmen Reed, the survivor of a haunting in Connecticut story. Stephen LaChance, Robbie Thomas, Dan Jolly. TAPS Paramagazine is going to be there. Keith Age, our good buddies from Ghostly Talk are going to be out there as well. Scott L. and Doug from Ghostly Talk. Alan Rupnick. It's going to be an amazing time. And Keith, I got to tell you, this is an amazing event you put together for a very small ticket amount. There's VIP ticket information, everything on the website. You can look at it. How much does it cost for this event for everybody that wants to come?
Yeah, if you come at the door, then it's $25 for the day.
Only $25 for the day to see some of the top speakers in the field.
Plus, you got a whole vendor's room full of things, too.
Right. And for people that are interested, you can go on the website. You can go to LouisvilleGHS.com, and there you will find information on the upcoming conference. Or, like I said, you can go to our website at darknessradio.com, click on the show tab. We'll leave this up through the week like we do until next week's show, so that you can click on it. For the people that are listening in the archives, it'll take you directly there. Or if you click on the picture of Keith, it'll take you directly to his website. The banner will actually take you right to the site for the 6th Annual Mid-South Paranormal Convention. Keith was kind enough to invite me along as well, so I'm going to be out there saying hi to people next weekend, or in 2 weeks, I guess, rather. And I look forward to meeting somebody. And I guess the Booth brothers are going to be there too, right?
That's the plan so far, but you never know what you're going to get when you're dealing with the Booth brothers.
Well, I'm sure they're out filming and do it quite a bit. So,
they're going to give us a special sneak preview. I don't know what it is yet. They haven't told me. We're children of the grave.
Great.
I have no idea. Like I said, I'm just the host and the producer, so they're keeping it hush for me. So, like I said, you never know what you're going to get with those two guys.
Excellent. Well, hopefully everybody will come out and join it. It's a great price. The whole weekend, you have a VIP package. Is it $50 for the whole weekend?
You got it.
So, and that gets you in for the first night party. That gets you in for the 2 days of talks and everything, correct?
That's right.
Well, it's definitely worth it. Come on out. See the celebrities. Get a chance to meet some of the top speakers in the paranormal field. Shake hands with Keith. He's a great guy himself. And so full of knowledge with the paranormal, and having worked so much at Waverly Hills, you're going to be out there in Louisville, you got to know more about Waverly Hills, and this is one of the guys that can tell you firsthand accounts of crazy stuff that's happened there. So I hope that you'll join them out for the event, and again, contact Keith through the website and sign up for it. Now, getting back, Keith, let's talk a little bit more about some of the other experiences you've had. So you've been busted up a couple times by ghosts. You've been grabbed, you've been hit with rocks. Now, do you find most spirits that you deal with, are they angry? Are they malevolent spirits that you're dealing with? Or are most of them just passive shadows? Do you think you're dealing, like at Waverly, are you dealing more with a residual type haunting?
Well, at Waverly, it kind of runs the gamut of everything out there. You know, that place can be, you know, just extreme to the max, or it can just be dead. You know, just like any other place. And with Waverly, you know, various different ones. You know, there are certain ones that they call the chef, you know, the guy in the top hat and coat and everything. That's what he looks like, a chef. They see him over by the kitchen area a lot, but the same reports have always been they see him doing the exact same thing. And then you see these shadow images, and it's just something completely different. And, you know, the different EVPs that you collect. Some nights you can be standing outside and you can just watch rooms just light up, you know. You don't know what's causing it. You know there's no power to the rooms. You know, Waverly can be an amazing place, and I think everybody that's into the paranormal field, that's truly into it, you know, to learn, really needs to go and check it out. I think everybody needs to go there at least once.
Yeah, we had a great time out there as well. I do have a quick question from the boards. I just had somebody say, is Robbie Thomas for sure still attending the conference, do you know?
No, as a matter of fact, Robbie called me today. He's not going to be able to attend.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, he just called, and we haven't had a chance to get that up out there yet.
Okay.
Robbie's a great guy. I got to do a thing with him down in Bardstown, Kentucky. Really super nice guy.
Good. Yeah, I know. This is a crazy time of year for everybody in the paranormal, so I'm sure a lot of people are getting pulled away to do events and filming and shows, so it's got to be a little tough. But for the most part, you have everybody else that's on your list that'll be out there.
Right.
All right, good deal. Now, how many years? You said you worked with Waverly for 5 years.
Right, from 2000 to 2005.
Would you say that that is one of the most paranormal places you've ever been involved in?
Oh, yeah, definitely. Like I said, you know, there's just so much history there. You know, it can't help but be haunted. It takes a lot for me to say something's really haunted or not. And, you know, that place proved it within the first year we were out there. It's just the different things, you know, the constant EVPs that we got, the shadow images, the footprints, you know, and just, you're sitting there looking at this stuff and you're going, you know, what's causing this? You know, there's nothing natural that can be causing this. You know, I'm not a big orb person at all.
Right.
Never had. But you sit there and you see these balls of light just trailing down the hallway, just lighting up the hallway. And, you know, those are things you cannot explain. You know, you just cannot push them off and say, they're tricked with the light, you know, because there is no light out there. Like you said, except for the moon that casts a shadow through the doorway on the backside. And if it's a tree or something, there are no trees on the backside. It's all empty lot. And you go over on the other side, on the front, yeah, there's trees, but they're 45 feet away. You know, if it's a tree causing a shadow to move or something, you're going to pick it out and spot it and see it real easy.
Right. Now, when you're doing the investigations yourself, I mean, I know EVPs are pretty popular. Have you actually heard spirits? Well, I know you said you heard whistling, but was that the whistling of the rock coming at your head, or was it the sound of somebody whistling?
No, that was the cement flying through the air, yeah.
So you heard the... But yeah. Have you actually heard audible talking, laughing, crying, screaming at Waverly Hills?
At Waverly, no. Okay, but I will say this. We've got a place that we did film for Children of the Grave, and it's one of the places we're offering for overnight investigation for the convention. It's called the Whispers Estate in Indiana, which was really cool. It's one of the only places I've ever been to where you ask a question, you get an audible answer back. It was just pretty wild.
You would get an audible answer back every time?
Not every time.
Okay.
But, you know, about 60% of the time, you'd either get an audible answer back or you would hear a baby crying. You'd hear footsteps. Just various different things like that. And you're just like, going, okay, this is pretty cool. You know, once you checked out the house, you know there's nobody there except for you and your team.
Right.
One of the cool things that we did, I wanted to do, because I'd heard so much about it, and Julie Velasquez had, from Illinois, gotten up from Chicago, had turned me on to the place and said, you just got to go check it out. You just will not believe it. And the backstory on this is, in 1912, a little girl, and Christmas morning, went down. Her father was a doctor and had the parlor blocked off to where, when they had patients, that's where the family went. They didn't make noise. And, of course, in 1912, kids were supposed to be seen and not heard anyway. So on Christmas morning, she went downstairs, shut the parlor doors, and from what we assume she did at that point was probably looking at the presents or whatever. She backed into the Christmas tree, which had lit candles on it, and caught herself on fire.
Oh, no.
She couldn't get out of the room because the doors were locked, and, of course, with the fire and everything, the doors swelled. And the original floor is still there, and what you can see is you can see where she walked everywhere trying to put this fire out. They couldn't get to her because the doors were swelled shut. When they finally did, they got the fire out. She was pretty much burnt over 90% of her body. They took her upstairs to her bedroom where she died 2 days later, and they buried her in the backyard along with another infant that's buried out there and her brother who died a year later and her grandparents of the owners of the house. We're all buried in the backyard.
Hmm.
So I'd heard so much about it, and basically they were telling me, you know, you talk to this little girl and you get answers. She plays with toys. So we brought a lot of trigger items with us out there, you know, toys and dolls and stuff like that. And the one thing I want to do was a decibel experiment. So I took several alarms with me that were in various different levels of decibels. And they kept going higher and higher until they finally got to 110 decibels. And the owner was talking to her, and wasn't getting much activity. So every time that nothing happened, I would turn on a different siren. And as it got louder and louder, we started hearing things. When I turned the last one on, we heard a baby crying. And then things started happening. We started hearing different moans and words like stop it, it's loud, it hurts, different things, and we were actually capturing them. Of course, you know, you got the siren going, so it kind of kills your evidence. And but you hear me sit there and say, you know what, if you don't like this, turn it off. Show me what you can do. And then you hear a click, the siren goes off, and me and Greg Myers from Missouri Paranormal just stood there, looked at each other, and went, wow, that was cool. You know, to have something physically take a knob and turn it all the way counterclockwise and turn it off.
Now, you said this was the home or the place in Indiana, correct?
Right.
And now, is this part of the where you filmed for the episode for Children of the Grave?
Right.
Okay. Wow. All right, the reason I ask is Eek the Cat from our boards just asked where specifically in Indiana you were filming, so this is the location that we're talking about. Okay.
Yeah, this is one of them. It's in Mitchell, Indiana.
Now, this kind of ties in with what you're talking about with you know, hearing the audible voices. Have you ever had a spirit call you out by name?
Yeah, I've heard my name called out at a couple places, but, not everything is paranormal. And when you do, you're very lucky to find it when you do. And we've been lucky to get a lot of information at different places. But, you know, we have a caseload of almost 300 cases a year. And out of the 300, I'd say maybe 4 are actually paranormal in nature.
So, I mean, what are you finding when they're not paranormal in nature? Is it just the... How much of it is way overactive imagination as opposed to outside influence, like a lot of electromagnetic field leak or bad wiring in the house?
It's probably about 60-40 when it comes to that, because you know if someone thinks they have a ghost and they truly believe that, no matter what you tell them, show them, or prove to them, you can't sway them. And there's a lot of lonely people out there. And ghost hunting isn't just going out and trying to find a ghost. You know, you've got to be a psychologist, a doctor, part lawyer.
Right.
Most of the time. And,
well, that's why it's important, too. We've talked on our show repeatedly. Since shows like Ghost Hunters, Most Haunted, Dead Famous, Haunting Evidence, all these shows came out, now there seems, and you've probably seen the effect on this even more, there seems to be 100 new paranormal groups popping up on a weekly basis.
Oh, God, yeah. And
it's important to know what you're doing, because there is so much more to it than just a couple of goofy kids and their crazy dog going in and hunting ghosts, right? I mean, you've got to really take into consideration the people that you're dealing with and realize that this isn't just a lark. You have to know what you're doing and take responsibility in the field.
Right. You know, we had someone actually ask the question. You know, we put them through training, and you know there is paperwork involved, and you know as well as I do that about 60% of the time, it is boring to do this stuff, you know, because nothing's happening. You're sitting here watching. We go to places that rats won't go into, you know, sometimes. Or you're sitting in a house, somebody's lovely home, and nothing is happening. It's boring. You don't know what you're going to capture unless something happens in front of you. Usually it's when you go back and review your stuff. That's when you find what you captured.
Right.
And we actually had somebody turn and ask us, well, you know, this isn't right. TAPS doesn't do this. Ghost Hunters don't do this. They don't have all this paperwork. And I'm going, you know what? It's not good TV. That's why it's not on there.
Right.
But I guarantee you there's plenty of paperwork, you know.
Well, sure. They go through a lot of screening processes before they go into these homes to make sure that the people are legit and not just wasting their time.
That's right. You know, and, you've got to, because, like I said, there's a lot of lonely people out there. There's people out there, believe it or not, that want to get up here and get on TV just to be on TV.
Right.
And we'll try to fake things. And you've got to go through all that stuff. You've got to, you know, use your BS detector and see who's doing what and what's real and what's not.
Well, Keith, we have to take our second break here. We'll be right back. We've got a lot of questions pouring in from the chat room, so stick with us. We've got Eek, Georgia Spirits, Tuesday, Marion, and Fuzzy Whipple and Bell have popped up with some questions. We'll be coming back with those right after this.
We thought El Chupacabra meant the cup of coffee in Spanish.
Mi amo Eduardo Especial. ¿Cómo está el yay?
What you talking about, Willis?
Shows you what we know. Stay tuned. There's more to come from the darkness on the edge of town.
If you read Taps Paramag every month, you'll be able to tell the difference between the absurd.
Could not go to work because Bigfoot. Bigfoot stole my car.
And the creepy. Taps Paramag takes you where few would ever go on purpose. From exclusive interviews with the cast of The Ghost Hunters to the latest trends in technology in the field of the paranormal. To join our journey, order at tapsparamag.com.
Are you tired of reading about what couple in Hollywood is breaking up or divorcing? Have you ever wondered where you can find the news that covers the subjects that you are really interested in? I would like to invite you to visit SupernaturalNews.com. Supernatural News uses the latest internet technology to search for the topics we know you will be interested in reading. News of the latest Bigfoot, UFO, or Loch Ness Monster sightings. Read about the latest conspiracy theories and urban legends. Supernatural News, where belief and reality merge.
Ghosts, goblins, witches, creatures of the night. Yep, that just about covers everybody Dave and Tim have ever dated.
Oh my God, this girl's really turning me on.
Welcome back to the darkness on the edge of town.
Hey guys, before we went to break, we were talking to Keith Age and talking about all the lonely people out there that look for help just to have somebody hang out with them. Well,
one is the loneliest number that you'll ever
be. We do want you to take advantage of one of, well, not take advantage of them, but make sure that you go visit one of our sponsors, Sweet on Geeks. It's a dating space where gray matters. That's right. It's for all of us, Tim. All the comic book
reading,
intelligent geeks.
I got more game in my pinky than most people got in their whole body.
Girl, if you didn't have Monopoly, you'd have no game at all.
That's right.
We've got Sweet on Geeks. You can check out their links at our website. Check them out if you're looking to get into the dating field. It's a great site with great people, and it gives people like us, Tim, hope to find
who's
love.
Us?
Who's you and me? I'm just, you know, I'm trying. What do I want to say? It's for the losers out there looking for
what?
Love.
Huh?
Nice going, Tim. Way to throw it at my Jeez. Sponsors, you jerk. All right, we're going to go back into the show. We've got Keith Age with us. Again, really, I was talking about it sincerely. You can go to our website, click on the Sweet on Geeks, a dating space for gray matters link, and go out, check out their website. Let them know that you heard about it on Darkness Radio. Keith Age is our guest. We're talking to him. He's the host of Spooked that was on the Sci-Fi Channel. The new show, Children of the Grave, should be on the Sci-Fi Channel here in October. He's also hosting the sixth annual Mid-South Paranormal Convention that's coming up, and that's in just 2 weeks, so make sure that you check that out. A lot of great speakers, great low price point, only $25 a day or $50 for the whole weekend. You definitely want to be a part of that. Also, I want to mention, make sure to check out next weekend. We've got a great live show. Tiffany Johnson, the very prominent psychic medium, is going to be here with us. She's going to discuss the art of tarot reading, and she's going to be doing some live tarot readings right here in the station. Also, we're going to talk to Patrick Burns. If you've been watching this season on Haunting Evidence, it's been getting amazing paranormal activity. We're going to talk to Patrick about some of that activity that he's been able to catch and talk to him about some of the work that John Oliver does on that show, and is it help us understand a little bit more about how that all works. We'll go back to Keith now. Keith, got a lot more questions that are popping up here in our chat room, so let me see what I can get up for you. The first question here, I guess, is from Georgia Spirit Chaser. She wants to know if you happen to do anything at Central State in Indiana for your investigations.
I've been there, and of course, they don't want to let you in.
Right.
that's the way it is with a lot of places.
Right.
But I am currently talking to someone who has into the place, and we're looking at going in there. But I've heard a whole lot about it.
Now, I've got a question here from Tuesday on our board, and she says, Keith, do you find that there's less activity when there are more people investigating a location versus more activity when there's only a couple of people in a place investigating it?
I've seen it work both ways. You get up here and, of course, if you've got just a small place and you've got a lot of people in it, you're more likely to miss something if it happens because you're so focused on everybody around you. I think if paranormal activity, true paranormal activity, wants to happen, it's going to happen, no matter if there's, two people in the place or 100 people in the place.
All right. Now, we've got a couple questions here from Bell. Bell wants to know, is there a place that they can listen to some of the EVPs that you've collected? Do you have them on your website?
Yes, it is.
Okay. And So you can hear the samples there, Bell, and that's at, let's give the website again, that's lghs.com?
Right.
Okay, so it's L like Larry, G like girl, H like Harry, S like Sam.com, lghs.com. Also,
it's
LouisvilleGHS.com. Oh, LouisvilleGHS.com. I'm sorry about that. Okay, so it's LouisvilleGHS.com.
Yeah, if you go to LGHS.com, it's a porn site.
Good. Is it really?
Hey,
yeah.
All right, well, good. Check that out, and then go check out Louisville GHS. Either way, tell them you heard about it on Darkness Radio. Bell also wants to know, is it hard to deal with people's various claims of paranormal activity in order to get some sort of sick recognition?
Yeah, there's some groups out there that you know really feed off of that, and that goes back to what you were saying a while ago.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's so many groups out there now. I mean, you know, Spook, you know, is the second highest rated show on Sci-Fi, you know, for paranormal, you know, for a long time. Ghost, the only thing that beat that was Ghost Hunters. And, you know, people are just so into this. You know, they want to know. And, you know, and then you got, like you said, Dead Famous, you know, with Chris and Ryan Buell's new show's getting ready to come out. You know,
that's right, so many Paranormal shows State, yeah.
Yeah. And, you know, these groups have all popped up. I mean, we've actually had to go into a house that a new group had been in. We were there. We've been there almost 3 months because the owner is just terrified of the place because they told him after being there less than an hour that he had three demons living in the house.
Now, who told him this?
This was a new group that had just popped up.
Oh, geez.
You know, and, you know, of course, none of these people had any experience. All of a sudden, they have a demonologist and this, and you know, you're going, my God, you know, you've got to take responsibility for what you tell these people.
Yeah, so folks, if you're listening out there and you feel you've got a haunting and you want to have somebody come out, it's the best idea is to research paranormal groups in your area. Call them, find out how long they've been in existence, what kind of background the researchers have. You know, is it just that they watch Ghost Hunters every Wednesday night and that's where they feel they've kind of, you know, they've learned about this, you know, or they just have had an active interest and read a bunch of books as kids? Or are they actively in the field doing this investigations? You know, you call Keith Age at LGHS and they've been at, you know, doing it. Keith's been involved in this field for 25 years. That's the kind of stuff you want to look for. People that have been committed to this field, you know, not that I'm putting down new groups. New groups need a chance to get their feet wet as well, but understand what the team brings to you when you bring in these investigations, because I got to guess it's pretty scary to be a part of these. You know, I'm part of TCPS, the Twin Cities Paranormal Society here. And although it's only been around for the last year and a half, 2 years for investigating, you know, it's a lot of people that really take it seriously. They spend a lot of time researching, understanding, getting the history of the locations, and a lot of people don't do that. A lot of them are out there thrill-seeking.
Right. No, you're so right, man.
All right, we've got another question here from Fuzzy Whipple. Do you go into your investigations trying to debunk these claims, or are you going in looking for proof of the paranormal?
Both, actually. I mean, you want to go in there, and you want to find if there is a natural reason, you know, You got to cross everything off the list first before you can say something supernatural or paranormal, you know, because, you know, you're only as good as your proof and your evidence. And if I get up here and go and say, oh, yeah, this place is haunted, and, you know, this door opens up on its own, and, you know, and the drawers keep falling out on their own, and then all of a sudden the next guy comes in behind me, and he's actually a carpenter, and says, well, the reason why the door opens up because out of plumb, and it's brand new shelves and stuff in here, and that's why they're opening up, and they're at a 90-degree angle, you know, and they should be sitting at, you know, at 90 degrees, and they're only sitting at 70, you know, and you're only as good as your last piece of evidence.
Okay, that's great, great things to think about. Now, Fuzzy also wants to know, what does it feel like to be touched by a ghost, Keith? Does it feel like a real human hand? Does it feel like an energy force or something different?
It hurts.
It hurts? Well, aside from when you're getting rocks thrown at you when they touch you, I mean, does it feel like a solid form, like somebody, an actual hand, or do you feel like a vibrational energy, or do you get a mixture of both?
Yeah, like the very first time, you know, like I said, I got thrown through the front door of this house, you know, I had a bruise on my arm that you could actually see fingerprints on from my elbow to my wrist. I mean, you've been in the same room. I'm not a little guy.
Right.
You know, and I've got arms like a gorilla. You know, and that's, you know, that was a huge hand, and it felt like someone just put a vice grip on me and just basically slung me. I thought the girl's father had actually got up out of his chair and, you know, was mad because I was kissing his daughter goodnight. you know, but as I'm flying through the air, I can see him still sitting in his chair, but nothing else. Just, you know.
So the dad's over there thinking, all right, he got fresh, and my daughter just tossed him across the room.
Yeah, the shootless has paid off.
Well, and I can, Fuzzy, if I can answer from my point of view, the one of the spirits that I've actually had contact with, to me, was actually more like an energy form. It was a warm, vibrational feel, almost like like an electric static touch. And then it became solid the longer it held on, and I could feel almost like a texture like skin. So if that answers your question, I think it's a little bit of both. I think it just depends on where the spirit is and what they're using, and maybe how strong the entity is, or you know, how they're able to manifest.
Right. I think it's different types and different energy levels, and like you said, depending on where it's, you know, where you're at and what has been happening, you know, it's just various different levels. Because, you know, I've had other people that have been in the group and had the personal experience where they felt like it was just a static electric shock, you know.
Right.
And like I said, you know, and then when you get a piece of cement thrown at your head a couple times and you put through a couple doors and a couple walls, yeah, it feels like someone's actually, you know, knocked the heck out of you.
I got an email here from Dream Police, and they're wondering, Keith, what's the craziest extent somebody's gone to try to trick you about a paranormal activity when you've been called in and on an investigation?
We actually had someone who was trying to get into Lucasfilm, and they had they'd actually built almost a set within the house that had motors and pulleys and a little bit of everything, and they were going to turn it into Lucasfilm and say, look, we pulled the ghost hunter.
Crazy. So, I mean, they were really going all out to try to... Do you find that there's anybody that sets you up to call you in? They don't really think the place is haunted, but they, you know, they want to see if you guys are idiots or if you're legitimate. And have you ever found that out when you've been there?
Oh, yeah. You know, you've had a few cases like that. And that's why, you know, one of the first rules of ghost hunting is, number one, you don't go alone. And you always let somebody know where you're at.
Right.
But you don't know what you're going to walk into.
Sure.
We walked into cases where, one case where, you know, we got a call from this lady saying, please come help my mother. This ghost is attacking her every night and raping her. And we get there, and it's a mobile home, and the mother comes out, and we're talking to her, and we're like, how do you know this happens? And because he comes down from the attic every night. Well, we're in a mobile home. There is no attic in a mobile home. And then the sump pump kicks on, and she's like, here he comes. Well, we start doing more questions, and we start looking around, and we see all of her medicines on the windowsill. They've got almost, you know, a quarter of an inch of dust on it that she hasn't been taking. So then you go, look, well, let's show me your bedroom. She'll show me what's going on, because she's like, there's blood all over the walls. And sure enough, I open the door, and you can see blood all over the walls, but it's spittle blood. It's, you know, where someone's coughed and stuff like that. We just walked through an open TV case.
Oh, jeez.
So you never know what you're going to walk into.
Well, that's another reason it's important to know what you're doing before you start getting into this field. Heartbreaker wants to know, has Keith ever been to the Willard Library in Evansville, Indiana? And if so, was there any evidence that you acquired there?
We got a few shots, which are pretty weird that we couldn't explain. We never saw the Gray Lady, and we didn't catch any EVPs, and we were there one Halloween night and got to spend the whole entire evening there. And, you know, like I said, we got two shots, but again, we didn't notice them until we got back. So, you know, didn't catch anything spectacular.
Okay, nothing major there. Marianne wants to know here, are you working on any other new documentaries here soon? And also, are you going to be doing any investigations in California?
We are getting ready to go out and start shooting two more episodes for sci-fi, and we are actually talking about going out west. And as far as I know, you know, we've talked about a few places in California, but nothing definite yet.
Now, what's your place of fantasy that you'd like to get into to investigate? I mean, is there one spot above all that stands out that you're like, man, before I die, this is where I want to go?
I would love to go over to Europe and London and a few places like that. The area of Jack the Ripper where he was at, and yeah, it'd be great to take the tour and everything. But actually, you know, go and investigate some of the places they're supposed to be haunted by Jack the Ripper and the ladies that he killed. And I would love to go to Transylvania to Dracula's Castle.
Now, we've also got one more wrap-up question here for you. How do people contact you, Keith, to have their house investigated? And is there any certain criteria on how haunted a place needs to be before you'll actually consider investigating?
Well, the easiest way to do it is just contact us through the web, and that's the way most people do. They send an email or something like that. We also do have a phone number on there. It's the LGHS phone that I do carry with me. Matter of fact, I think you asked me how many phones I got on me the other night when we were in Atlanta.
Right.
Together. And, you know, and that's why I carry it, because I want to be able to talk to people, you know, if they need some help. And it doesn't really have to have a criteria, but, again, let me give you a little quick story of something that happened a couple of years ago. You know, somebody called me, and she said, quick, you've got to come out and investigate my home, because my dead ex-husband has come back to haunt me. And, you ask your normal questions, and I finally said, now, what makes you think he's haunting you? Because it's haunting my toaster, because it burns the bread. And I'm like, well, get rid of the toaster. And she's like, no, I can't take it back to Walmart. It's brand new. He'll haunt the poor people there, and they work so hard. Throw it away. Can't do that. I said, see that little knob on the side? She goes, I've done that. It just keeps coming up burnt. I said, okay, we're going to get rid of your toast. I said, lay a paper towel on the table in front of you. She does. I said, take the toaster, turn it over. I hear his clunk on the counter. I said, now take it off. Now tell me what you got. And she said, oh, my Lord in heaven, I've got his ashes.
Like, oh, God. Well, thank
you. Okay. Yeah.
Thanks
Ball
for
that
sharing
up
that.
And put it in there, you know. So, no, you know, you want to try, you know, and help as many people as you can.
Right.
You know, and whether it takes, you know, just talking to them over the phone and trying to help them that way, you try to do it. You know, if they're adamant that they've got a ghost and something's happening, yeah, then you get a team together and go out. You know, I've got 3,000 members.
Thanks. Yeah, that's great, Keith. We got to wrap it up, but thanks again, and thank you all for tuning into the show. We'll have Keith back again real soon with us. You've listened to the Darkness on the Edge of Town Paranormal Radio Show, and for more information, you can check out Louisville GHS to contact Keith there. Thank you, and we'll talk to you again next week.
You're great at protecting your own personal information. You probably even use things like two-factor authentication, strong passwords, and a VPN. But as much as you try to be in control of how your information is protected, there are lots of places that also have it, and they might not be as careful as you are. That's why LifeLock monitors millions of data points every second for identity threats. If your identity is stolen, a LifeLock U.S.-based restoration specialist will help solve identity theft issues on your behalf, guaranteed or your money back. Plus, all LifeLock plans are backed by the $1 Million Protection Package, meaning LifeLock will reimburse you up to the limits of your plan if you lose money due to identity theft. You might not be able to control how others handle your personal information, but you can help protect it with LifeLock. Save up to 40% your first year. Call 1-800-LIFELOCK and use promo code IHEART, or go to LifeLock.com/iHeart for 40% off. Terms apply.
This message is sponsored by Greenlight. With school out, summer is the perfect time to teach our kids real-world money skills they'll use forever. Greenlight is a debit card and the number one family finance and safety app used by millions of families, helping kids learn how to save, invest, and spend wisely. Parents can send their kids money and track their spending and saving, while kids build money confidence and skills in fun ways. Start your risk-free Greenlight trial today at greenlight.com/iHeart. That's greenlight.com/iHeart.
Does Friendly have a taste? If it does, it's probably like Hello's peppermint flavored anti-plaque and whitening toothpaste. Brush away plaque, show tartar who's boss, and remove surface stains to naturally whiten. Hello's thoughtful and flavor forward products make brushing your teeth feel like a confetti filled bathroom dance party. So say hello to Hello with the always cruelty free, never tested on animals toothpaste that's made to spread smiles. Visit HelloProducts.com and let Hello add some everyday yay into your life.